Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating finished basements for family fun, fitness, and entertaining. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Halloween is just a few weeks away, and our next guest's book could be just the thing to get the kids in your life into that holiday spirit. Local author Nikki Jacobs-Meyer's new book, Spooky America, The Ghostly Tales of St. Charles, explores historic buildings on and around St. Charles's Main Street. Its 13 chapters tell the stories of the many ghostly experiences people have had in the historic area. I'd like to invite you to the conversation as well. Have you had spooky experiences in the St. Louis region? Share it with us. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK, or you can send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. Nikki, you were born in St. Charles and partly grew up there, and this book was written with middle graders in mind. That's quite clear from the way that the cover looks. Is that about how old you were when you started hearing about some of these haunted places in St. Charles?
Yes. So growing up in St. Charles, my sister and I were taken regularly by my mom and my Gigi, and we would go down to Main Street St. Charles and shop. And, you know, while my mom and Gigi were shopping, I was really curious. And so, you know, I would ask questions. I don't know a stranger kind of thing. So I'd ask questions of the shop owners and restaurants and just started falling in love with the history of St. Charles and St. Louis, where we live. And it just always kind of piqued my interest. And down there just holds very fond memories.
Mm-hmm. So pardon the pun, what possessed you to write about the haunted history of that area?
So like I said, I love history and I love spooky, curious stories, the you know, unknown, that, you know, we know fact is stranger than fiction a lot of times. And so I have written for the middle grade audience and children, and I wanted to give them a way to break into history in more of a fun, you know, experience way, that immersive experience. And that's what I did with this book. It's structured like a walking tour that they can, in fact, go down there themselves and immerse themselves in the streets and the architecture and the people and the culture.
Did you do any testing as you were writing the book, you know, as far as that tour down the street is concerned?
Yes. I mean, I did it and I set it up to that so it would, you know, go in order. And in the book, there are certain things you can, it describes, you know, if in the second story of the building, this happened and things like that. So it has it was a great way just to immerse the people that live there and work down there and the ones that are day in, day out with, you know, these maybe spooky inhabitants.
For those who have not been to St. Charles Main Street or maybe have not been there for a while, can you paint us a picture of what the street, you know, looks like and tell us a little bit more about the history of St. Charles and that historic area?
Sure. So Main Street St. Charles is a charming piece of the past. I mean, when you walk down these cobblestone roads or drive down them, you are taken back, you know, hundreds of years ago. And I mean, they have, you know, gas lights and the architecture is so detailed, you know, because it's been around so long. And Louis Blanchet came down, and it was called the Little Hills. And Lewis and Clark is a huge part down there by the Missouri River. And the Boat Museum is included because there's some spooky stuff that happened down there. And it's a place that has grown over the years, but it has tried to capture the history and the community of the people that still live there.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the spooky specifics.
Okay.
The book includes stories about popular St. Charles spots, and Grandma's Cookies is one of them. I think it's recently, the second year in a row, it's won like USA Today's best cookies in the United States. What did you learn about ghostly goings on there?
Sure. So Grandma's Cookies is located on the 400 block on South Main Street. And right next door to it, there is a plot of land that has an old cabin. Well, this plot of land and the entire 400 block used to be a cemetery. And that is where a lot of the stories come from, that this entire block was cemetery. There's been, when they're making buildings and doing construction and things, rehabbing, architects and archaeologists have found remains still under in this ground. And so Grandma's Cookies is not, you know, they have some of the same experiences. And some of the interesting things that have happened in the back of the kitchen there, mm-hmm. Things that people were by themselves and no one was there that they heard, they experienced. I've seen pictures of plates being, you know, laid out that they talked about, or a little boy coming in the front and seeing the visitors coming in for cookies. So it's, I talked to several people there, and it was just so interesting to hear people that have worked there for decades, mm-hmm. how they've experienced these things being so close to that cemetery way yeah. back then.
Was there, if I'm recalling correctly, a story about three bulls?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I actually was able to talk to the employee that was cooking back there, and they were all baking, the team was, and there's different rooms back there. And they were in one room with the ovens, and she was in a separate room by herself. And, you know, she started hearing these, like, movement and, like, glass breaking, but there, you know, wasn't glass. It was, you know, plastic that she had. And when she came in there and she was like, oh, knock it off. You know, it was like this whole joke that who's, you know, pranking me, things mm-hmm. like that. And they're like, no, they came in and they're like, are you okay? Because they heard this crashing noise. And she's like, I'm not in that room. And they went in there and there was no one there, but these bowls were laid out. I have the picture on my phone because it gives me the
images.
The bowls are laid out and they snapped a picture because they just wanted to capture this moment
right.
that, of what happened and that they experienced.
Mm-hmm. You did a lot of interviews for yes. this book. Did you conduct those interviews in the places that you were writing about? And, you know, did the spirits have anything to do or to murmur or to groan about in response?
I didn't necessarily have any response. But yeah, I love talking to people and I prefer face-to-face if I can too. And since it was the things that were happening on the street and in these buildings, I tried to do all my interviews there. And mm-hmm. I got to, these owners were so amazing, the St. Charles community. I would be taken up into the attic or into the rooms where certain things have happened and just get to be there. And there's just this energy there that you can totally see something happening. And, you know, back then in St. Charles, most people had their businesses on the first floor, and the second floor is where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this chemistry to that
yeah.
that is undeniable.
And I've lived in a place like that. My parents' store was on the bottom floor, and uh-huh. we lived upstairs. We're talking today with Nikki Jacobs-Meyer, who's the author of Spooky America, The Ghostly Tales of St. Charles. When you were writing about these stories, because clearly you're very excited and not freaked out necessarily by what you're talking about, how did you make these age appropriate? You know, so that parents also would not be dealing with children who'd be afraid to go to sleep at night.
Sure. I try to make it a point when I wrote these stories that it is for an 8 to 12-year-old audience. Now, granted, adults have bought it and enjoyed it, too, because who doesn't enjoy a spooky story, especially this time of year? But I try to keep that in mind. I am a parent of two as well, and although they're, you know, teenagers and grown, I wanted to make sure that parents felt like they could gift this to their children and it would start a conversation and not be something that's scary. So there's certain lines, you know, this is not a horror book.
It's, right,
but
right.
it's a way to get them interested in history and get them questioning. And I even put questions to the reader in there. What do you think it is? And go there And what did you find and tell your friends? And I would love to know. I love when my readers, you know, experience things mm-hmm. and share, just like you guys do here, you know, at STLPR. Like, hey, call in, tell us your spooky stories. Yeah. I want to hear them too.
Another part of the book that was really interesting was in chapter 6. And it describes wine bottles that were repeatedly falling and shattering at the main house restaurant. The owner says that they've got security footage of it. Did you see that footage, Nikki?
I did, and I got permission to use it in my presentation. So when I do visits at the library mm-hmm. or at bookstores and things like that, I do share that video because my words cannot give it justice, this video.
So because we cannot see through the radio, what does that footage show?
Sure. So there's two clips. The first clip, it's downstairs in their basement in the wine cellar. And there is an employee down there doing packaging and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, on the wall that you can clearly see, these bottles come shooting out. Not falling. They shoot out.
Okay.
So he obviously, he's, what do I do? On the seventh one, he finally catches the last bottle. All the others broke. Okay. So he tells the owner what's happened. And he's like, you know what? That wine's Pinot Noir. It has a special shape to the bottle to help the wine. So he's like, I bet it was just the way it was put on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So they rearrange it. It's set to go. Then the next video, same thing happens. Same number of bottles. Mm-hmm. And there's no one down there at this point. And you just see them. And again, they are launching across. And so now those bottles do not live in the cellar on the wall anymore. They are behind in the counter. But when you see the video, and I invite any of you to come to, you know, a library signing that I might have in the future on my website, you'll be able to see this video. And it's really, really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of an undescribable event.
Right. For these things to be happening, and as I understand what you've described about the main house restaurant, these are relatively recent things that have gone on. I think the last one was maybe in April of this year. Now, there are some people who don't believe in ghosts.
Sure.
Right? But all the same, they're going to stay away from places that could change their minds. Did any of the people that you spoke with have reservations about discussing these haunted things going on because they were afraid that people might not come to their establishments?
I did have some people that preferred not to go on the record, if you will, or discuss. And that was something, obviously, that with my work, I'm trying to be very respectful. And if someone doesn't want to be included, then I'm not going to include them. But there was some people that either they didn't want to share, or they've never experienced something while they owned the store, but maybe a previous owner did, mm-hmm. or someone that came in. But yeah, there was some people, and I tried to be really respectful because, you know, everyone has different thoughts on it.
Yeah. So you mentioned these bottles that were shooting across the cellar, and I think of what it sounds like, the shattering of that glass. What are some of the other sound sort of related hauntings or occurrences that come up in this book?
So one of the chapters is called Petrified Pottery, and it's about Siostra Polish pottery down on Main Street on the 300 block. And there is an apartment upstairs that gets rented out now. And there was this story about marbles and the sound of marbles rolling under the radiator. And I don't want to give it all away, but when I was there and Catherine, the owner, was very gracious and brought me up there, there's still marbles and they're not messed with. anymore, because when they did mess with them, things weren't great for a little bit. But a lot of these places, it's like protective, mm-hmm. a friendly ghost story. They're not all a negative vibe. You know, some of them are very still protective of their building or, mm-hmm. or where they lived or worked. Yeah. So, but yeah, the marble sound was one of them. I'm trying to think of some others. Lindenwood, the sound of the piano. They have an event, Dark Carnival, at Lindenwood University, and they you can go into the Sibley Hall, and that's the stories about that. And they say that you can hear the piano. So the hall was closed when I went there to research. So I'm very much excited to get into this hall to mm-hmm. see if I can hear if she's playing the piano still. Mm-hmm.
And they're also spirits that move, right?
Yes, yes. So there is one in particular. It's called Hide and Shriek is the name of the chapter. And a lot of people, it's amazing, since we do have security cameras now and that technology, the things that they have caught on their security footage where they're woken in the middle of the night by the police because they think someone has broken into their store mm-hmm. and come to find out there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Or merchandise has been moved in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And just the unexplainable. And that, Elaine, to me, is so fun mm-hmm. and so curious. And I want kids to be curious and ask questions about it, too. Yeah.
In the last minute, what is most exciting about this book at this time?
Well, I love fall. It's my favorite season. And I'm always thrilled when any child looks at this book and wants to read it, especially people that aren't a huge fan of reading. So I think it's great that it's a way for kids to dive in and read.
Nikki Jacobsmeyer is the author of Spooky America, The Ghostly Tales of St. Charles. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Olivia Mizell.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.